This is John Rawlings speaking, director of the Landmark Hour broadcast and pastor of Landmark Baptist Temple, Cincinnati, Ohio. I count it a high honor today to share this program with many of you who will be listening to this message and other messages that will be on this series. Reverend Carl Hatch and I crossed paths a good many years ago in Canada in a youth camp. While there, I watched his activities as a soul winner. He'd only been saved a very short time. But I noticed night after night, he'd bring 5, 10, 15 young people to the altar and lead them to Christ. I was greatly impressed with the power of God upon his ministry. And I said to my wife, if the time ever comes when I need an associate helper, I'm going to call that young man. Several years later, it was my privilege to call Brother Carl Hatch and ask him to come and work with us here at Landmark Baptist Temple. For 3.5 years, we had a very delightful and enjoyable time as co-laborers together. Then God led him into a greater and more effective ministry, the ministry of soul-winning evangelism in local churches, developing programs that had their seedbed here at Landmark Temple. And I'm grateful today that he can be back as our guest in a series of visitation revival efforts. And that is the answer for the series of soul winning messages that he'll be bringing. It's my joy and privilege to introduce Brother Carl Hatch to our visitation workers and to thousands who will be hearing these messages on recording and on radio broadcast. Brother Carl Hatch.
Thank you, Dr. Rawlings, and certainly it is an honor to be here and to make this series of soul-winning lectures that might be a blessing to you. I was mentioning earlier this week on the most precious thing in the life of a Christian. Paul says in Ephesians 5, in verse 16, 17, and 18, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're living in an evil world, and Paul says we need to redeem the time. I want to speak to you today on the sevenfold sin of not winning souls. Every Christian ought to be a soul winner. Every Christian ought to develop his life to become a soul winner. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts chapter 5, reading in verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I thought many times, have we ever really been beaten for the Lord? You know, I've had many things to happen to me in a city here just a few weeks ago. I was out making some calls, and one of the staff workers and myself, and we were there in the living room, standing there waiting. The man said, I'll be back in just a few moments. And in just a matter of minutes, he came back in with a .22 pistol and held it along the side of his leg, and he said, now, fellas, I want to tell you, there's a door, and I want you to go. Now, we didn't even stay. I didn't feel led to stay there. I felt led to leave because I'd prayed about it, and I felt led to leave there. Now, I've never been beaten for the Lord. Never have. I was in Springfield, Missouri, the High Street Baptist there here a few weeks ago conducting revival, and another staff member and myself, and a man choked me and set me on the couch. And after we got through, I said, well, you better thank God I'm saved. I'd mop you up in that floor. And I would have. But now, folks, what I'm trying to say is this. I have never been beaten for the Lord. You turn there in Acts chapter 5 and look. These men were beaten for the Lord. And it said, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council and called their attorney. No, that's not what it says, is it? It says, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Can you imagine being beaten for the Lord and then rejoicing about it? Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't have what these fellows have. I wish I did. I wish to did. Now, I can see the apostles after they were beaten, and they got up and began to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Now, most of us would have got up and called our attorney, wouldn't we? but not these fellows. They got up rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I want you to notice in verse 42, and it said on visitation night they went out visiting. That's the only time. They didn't visit any other time, did they? No, that's not what it says. See, that's what we say. Sometimes you can't get people out to visit unless you have a supper or something like that. Our crowd's been growing here this week with this dinner, I'll tell you for sure. I mean, every time you eat, you have a crowd. And daily, I like that, don't you? You know what I was telling Dr. Rollins, we were talking today, and what's made Landmark Baptist Temple? It's daily visitation, not just Thursday night or Monday night, but it's every day going out and witness and talking about the Lord. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Yeah, you know what thrills me about this? It says that they started and at the temple and in every house. I had the privilege of appointing a Catholic priest to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and won him on Thursday. And I told him, I said, now you come in Sunday and when I give the invitation, you go ahead and come in. I said, now wear your shirt on backwards and go ahead and come on in. And he came in and he sat over on the right and all the people just looked at him, you know. And I said, now when I say those waiting for baptism, you go to a certain place, you just go right ahead. So at the close of the service, I said, all of you waiting baptism, if the ladies will go to my left upstairs and the men to my right. And here goes this former Catholic priest walking up there, you know, and those eyes bugging out on everybody. And I got him in the baptismal pool and I said, folks, you're probably wondering what happened here, but I want to tell you. Now I said, I'm going to let him tell you. He said, folks, I want to tell you that I've been saved. I've experienced a second birth, and it's wonderful. And, you know, he knew what time Mass was. And every morning we'd go into the church where he was the pastor, and we'd sit out there in the car, and people would come out, and they'd say, Father, here's something happened to you. Oh, yeah, he said, I'll have to tell you about it. I said, get in the car, and I'll tell you. And so they'd get in the car, and he'd lead them to the Lord. We baptized 85 out of his parish. Now, folks, we started at the temple. We went everywhere talking about the Lord and trying to get people saved. And daily, I like that. Now, some of you listening here, you never go out on visitation. You never try to get anybody saved. Go what the book says every day. You say, I work in the shop. It's not a sin to witness on the job. It's really not. You ladies that work in the office, it's not a sin to win people to the Lord in the office. It's not a sin to win people on your job. Now let me give you the sevenfold sin. Number one is the sin of disobedience to the main command of the Savior. In the book of Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 and 20, it's personal. It says, go ye, not your friend or your neighbor, but it's talking about you. It says for you to go. There's three things you never pray about. Anything that's a command, you don't pray about it. It's a command. I see people go forward and, oh, Lord, help me to witness. You don't pray about witnessing. You just go and witness. It's a command that you witness. When it says, go ye, that's a command from the Lord to go out and talk about it. I see people praying about visitation and praying about going soul winning. You don't pray about that. You just go do it. You don't pray about baptism. It's a command. When you get saved, get baptized. People say, well, you pray for me, I need to be baptized. No, I'm not going to pray for you. Bless God, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm just going to say, just to get obedient, that's all, and get baptized. You don't pray about witnessing, you don't pray about baptism, and you don't pray about tithe. It's a command that you tithe. And if you don't tithe, you're a backslider. If you don't witness, you're a backslider. If you don't get baptized, you're a backslider. So you don't pray about those things. The sin, number two, is the sin a lack of love for Christ. Jesus said in John 14, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. If a man love me, he'll keep my words. Listen, if you love the Lord, you'll witness. If you love the Lord, you'll tithe. If you love the Lord, you'll get baptized. I'm a firm believer if a person gets what I got, that bless God, you don't have to beg them to do anything. If you love the Lord, you'll do it. Amen? And we need to fall in love with the Lord. Jesus said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. Number three is the sin of not following Jesus. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. A lot of people say, well, I'd like to be a soul winner. Now, don't tell me you can't be a soul winner. Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I've seen fellows that could hardly speak a word, and the Lord made them soul winners. Now, folks, he'll make you a soul winner. Anybody tells me they can't be a soul winner, they've never sold out the Lord. If you look back at me 20 years ago, a no-good drunken bum that nobody cared and loved for, and he reached down and lifted me out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock and established my going and put a brand new song in my heart, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me, and he took nothing and made something out of it. My goodness, if the Lord can take somebody like me that was nothing, and I win a few souls to the Lord, what can he do with you? Now, he says he'll make you a soul winner. I remember when I was a boy and I used to make what we call the toad frog houses. How many knows what I'm talking about? Great day, there's a few hillbillies. Some people call them mud houses. How many knows what a mud house is? Well, we got a few country folk here. Good to see all two of you. Anyway, we used to make a toad frog house, sticky foot, and pile dirt on top, and then pat it down, you know, and put a little water on there, and we'd smooth it down. And I'd slip my foot out, you know, and leave that holler in there. And then I'd make some roadways down through there, and I'd take some sticks and put along the side and put one on the top. Now, my sister used to use the fingernail polish. It was red, 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 red. You could use it for a stoplight. I mean, it was red. And I'd paint those posts. Now, you know what I was trying to do? I was trying to have the best-looking toad frog house of anybody in that community. Now, let me tell you something. What I'm trying to say is this. He can take you and mold you and make you a soul winner if you want to be a soul winner. He says, follow me. Told them when they was fishing, said, just lay your nets down. I know it's good to eat catfish, but you need to be a fisher of men. And I think it's time that we realize he can take us that's nothing and make something out of us and make us a soul winner. And then I want you to notice number four, the sin of not abiding in Christ. This is speaking of talents in John chapter 15, verse 4 through 8. And Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30, speaking of talents. Now, folks, God has given you the talent and the ability to talk to people. Let me tell you something. God gives you some senses you better use. A sense of smell, the sense of seeing, the sense of hearing, the sense of touch, and all these senses that God gave you, you better use them for God. You get on the phone and call my dear mother. A year and a half ago, a teenage boy backed her up against a telephone pole, and she's now totally blind, and she's lost her sense of feeling and smell and hearing. The only way she can tell a stove is burning is put her hand on it and let a few blisters get up there, and she can tell she's got a fire on that stove. She's still old-fashioned, wears her dresses to her ankles and lives old-fashioned, and I mean she's just like that. Let me tell you something. I remember when I went to the bedside of my mother and she was totally blind and she still had a little feeling in those bony hands and she put her hands up to my face and I said, Mama, do you know who it is? And she began to cry and the tears coming down her cheeks. She said, it's my baby. But you call her today and say, Miss Hatch, would you like to have all your senses back? She'd tell you, if I could see, if I could hear, if I could feel, if I could smell, I'd use it for God. We need to use what we got for the glory of God. Oh, listen to me. The sense of not abiding in Christ, using what we have. The sin of dishonesty in a sacred trust. We got a lot of people that are dishonest that are Christians. Now, what's Paul talking about in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15? Paul is saying here, he said, I am debtor, both to the Greeks, the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. What's Paul saying? He's saying, I have a debt to pay. Some of you are not paying your debts. You have a debt of obligation to go to the next door on the right, the left, the back, and the front, and all around you and talk to them about the Lord. I went into the place where I get my clothes cleaned the other day. I said, sir, I want to pay my debt. He said, you don't owe anything. I said, yes, I do. He told his wife, said, go check the box. Said, the reverend says he owes a bill. She went back and said, "Well, he don't owe anything." I said, "Yes, sir. I've been coming in here for months, and I owe a bill I got to pay." And he said, "What is it?" I said, "I owe the debt to talk to you folks about the Lord." I had not yet talked to him. Some of you pull in a service station, and you get gas, or you go in the grocery store or somewhere else. But do you ever give out a gospel tract and pay the debt of obligation to it? We got a lot of dishonest Christians today. It's easy to live a Christian life in that pew, but you need to get out and get honest with the Lord and paying your debt about witnessing to people about the Lord. The sin of dishonesty in a sacred trust. Then we find the sin that Proverbs is talking about in chapter 11, verse 30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Now, if you don't win souls, you must be a fool. You're either wise or you're unwise, one of the two. And he says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Many of us are guilty of being unwise Christians. Then I want you to notice number 7 here. And I think this one, it kind of hits home. I remember just a few weeks ago when I was getting ready to leave, and my little John was sitting down at the bottom of the steps and he was crying, and I went down and he put his arms around me and he said, "Daddy," he said, "why do you have to leave every week? Let me say to you, if you think I enjoy going from home every week and being away from my family, no! Physically I don't enjoy it, but God's called me to do it and I've got to do it." When little John said that, my wife came down the stairs and she said, "Honey, I don't know how you can go day and night and day and night and week after week." I said, "I go to Ezekiel chapter 3 and I'll tell you why I go. You turn there and if it don't stir your heart, you probably need to get saved." Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "Son of man, this is a sin of spiritual manslaughter and soul murder." There's many people sitting in the church pews are just as guilty of murder as a man that blows somebody's brains out. Because you don't talk to people about the Lord. "Son of man," that's personal, that's talking to you now. "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of your city," wherever you at. You can't go to Israel, can you? You can't go to Israel today or tomorrow maybe, but the Bible says he's made you and I that are Christians a watchman unto the city where you're at. He says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from the preacher." Don't say that, does it? It says give them warning from the church. A lot of people say the church. But it says give them warning from me. That's the Lord. "Give them warning from me when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life." Here's why I go day and night. "The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand," not your hand. Every service station you pull into, you don't talk to people about the Lord. Every grocery store you go into, every shopping center, every person you come in contact with face to face, and you pass them up and say hello, and you don't talk to them about the Lord. The Bible says when you stand before God that their blood will drip from your hands. I didn't say it. God said it. A lot of people say, "Well, how can you visit day and night? How you try to get people saved?" I'll tell you why, folks. When I stand before the Lord, I want to stand before him and he can say that you fought a good fight, you've kept the faith, and laid up for you in heaven are treasures that you know not of. No, I don't get it for money. If I did, listen, every preacher today that's a soul-winning preacher, if he's out winning souls like he's supposed to, you can't pay him enough money because he has to go day and night to do it. Why? Because to warn the wicked, Paul said, for a space of 3 years, He ceased not. Now, he didn't even quit. I don't know when he eat or sleep, but he said for a space of 3 years, day and night, he warned them with tears in the eye in his eyes. Let me ask you something. How long has it been since you wept your heart out, it says in Psalms 126, and you've gone forth weeping and pleading with people to be saved? You say it's been a long time. Let me ask you, have you gone to your neighbor on your left or on your right, behind you or in front of you? You say, no, I'm afraid I'll offend them. Well, I'd rather be guilty of offending them than stand before the Lord and let their blood drip from my hands. Oh, listen, I can name on that hand how many people I've offended. Any man, woman, boy, or girl with any intelligence whatsoever will appreciate you talking to them about the Lord. You go, well, I've talked to many people, and they said, I want to thank you. Went talked to a young man yesterday here in Cincinnati, and just 3 or 4 months ago, his entire family was killed in an automobile wreck. The car blew up, and his mother and father and 3 of his brothers were all snuffed out into eternity. And that 19-year-old boy standing there at the service station, and he wept his heart out and asked the Lord to save him. And he said, fellas, I want to thank you for coming by. We could have gone in there and asked for directions and never talked to them about the Lord. Are you ashamed? Paul says, I'm a debtor. Now, folks, it's one thing to pay your bills, but there's one bill you better pay, and that's talking about Jesus. You can go out here and pay your bill about your cleaning bill, your grocery bill, your automobile payments, but I'll guarantee you, and I believe every Christian ought to pay their bills. I mean that. I believe every born-again believer ought to try to pay your bills. But I believe there's one debt you better pay or you'll be sorry. Let me tell you this. When we stand before the Lord, it's going to be a glorious day. Now I'm looking forward to that day when we gather around God's throne. We'll sing praises throughout eternity. Won't be any more prayer meetings, any heartaches, headaches, disappointments, tears of sorrow. Except there'll be some tears of sorrow that you didn't talk about the Lord to the unsaved people. You can't tell me when you stand before the Lord and you've committed spiritual manslaughter and soul murder, when you stand before the Lord, you're going to be sorry that you didn't talk to people about the Lord. Father, bless now the message tonight. We pray every heart and every life might be moved and touched of Thee. May this lesson here today, may we apply it to our own hearts that we might be better soul winners. Help us, Lord, the sevenfold sin of not winning souls. Help us to not commit either one of them. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Your name we pray. Amen.